You're listening to Crown Point High School Bulldogs Halftime Show on USA-365.com. All right, it is halftime here at Crown Point High School, where the Lake Central Indians and the Crown Point Bulldogs are all tied up at three-piece here at halftime. Let's recap the scoring. There wasn't a whole lot of it. Crown Point scoring a field goal from 22 yards out by Ben Frederick just as the first quarter was ending. That play started with 1 second left and, of course, ended with no time left. That from a fourth and goal situation from the Lake Central 5 yard line. Crown Point was able to move down to within the 5 yard line on second and goal, but could get no closer than the 5 yard line on after two plays, so they kicked the easy field goal to take a 3-0 lead after one. The second quarter went back and forth with a lot of three and outs or short drives, punting the ball back and forth. Finally, Lake Central, starting near midfield at their own 48-yard line, moving down to the Crown Point 26 where their drive stalled out. And after a couple of back-to-back incomplete passes on fourth and nine, decided to go for a Cole Rainwater field goal, which resulted in a 43-yard kick. It was a line drive kick just clearing the uprights. And that tied it up at three-piece with about 49 seconds left. The ensuing kickoff left Crown Point at their own 31-yard line. They ran one play from scrimmage and then allowed the clock to run out. And here we are at halftime. In the first half, Ryan Bolda, of course, having his first varsity start in place of Grayson Link. Link not playing tonight for no specific given reason. He just said that he was not playing tonight. Unofficially, we have Bolda with five completions out of 11 passes with one interception. And Tyler Gomez, 8 carries for a net of just 2 yards. Pass receptions, Gomez with 1 for 8. McCormick with 1 for 13. Tyler Jones with 3 for 15. And let's see, Zach Stewart carried the ball once for a couple of yards, and I believe Ryan Bolda carried it once for about 6 yards. So not a lot of offense by Crown Point, but looking at Lake Central, they were thwarted as well. I have Zach Bolda with 3 for 12 passing for just 23 yards, no interceptions. Anthony Giles, 9 carries for 39 yards, is the leading ground gainer. Austin Atkins catching all 3 passes that were completed by Zeke Bundelow. So there you have the notable statistics as they are. Very tightly played game defensively. Crown Point frustrating the pass receivers, most notably Benson, Josh Benson for Lake Central, who has not been able to catch a ball tonight, even though at least 5 or 6 have been thrown in his direction tonight. So here we are at halftime. It's tied up at 3 apiece on a field goal for each team. All right, let's open up the microphone for Frank Sprankle. Frank, you've been checking a few scores from elsewhere around the region. What else is happening?
Dave, not many scores to report here. Doing the best we can, but out of Class 4A Sectional 17, we do have the two scores of that semifinal. Lowell leading more than 28-0. Would you believe it? That's at the end of the first quarter.
Wow.
Over at Morton High School. The winner of that game, presumably Lowell at this point, will play the winner of Munster and Highland. That game being played at Highland, and Munster holding a 14-8 lead with 2:52 remaining before the end of the first half. We are looking, we're trying to get the scores as best as we can. Mark Smith, kind enough to join us. Hey, Mark, good to see you, buddy. We'll get you up. We'll keep you updated of the Maryville Portage score, trying to find what is happening between those two schools, because the winner of that plays. Actually, we should have an update here in a moment on the Maryville Portage.
All right, why don't we go ahead and take this opportunity to go ahead and play our IHSAA Commissioner's Corner interview. Let's go into that right now here on our USA-365.com halftime show.
It's time for the Commissioner's Corner, an exclusive weekly update from the IHSAA Commissioner himself, Bobby Cox. Now for the inside scoop on what's happening day to day with the IHSAA. Here's Coach Bob Lovell with Commissioner Bobby Cox.
Again, in for Bob Lovell, Greg Rakestraw. It is the Commissioner's Corner, and the star of the show is here, and very recent birthday boy, the Commissioner of the IHSA, Bobby Cox. As always, good to catch up with you, my friend, and happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Greg. Much appreciated.
And birthday season for you is also championship season for you. Last Saturday, we put boys tennis to bed with individual singles and doubles champions. Our focus today, though, will be the tournament trail that continues. Let's start with state finals. We'll go away from Indianapolis first. Cross country in Terre Haute this weekend. Tell us about it.
Cross country will start with a girls championship race at 1 o'clock at the Laverne Gibson Championship Cross Country Course, the east side of Terre Haute. And we have an opportunity to thank our friends at Terre Haute North High School and the city, the Convention Visitors Bureau, Vigo County School Corporation for everything that they do, Indiana State, all of those folks who put on what arguably is one of the best cross-country races in the country. And I always look at each of these championships, Greg, and everybody asks me, well, which one's your favorite? And I say, well, this one's the most colorful. When you watch 5,000 people out there running around the cross-country course and they're all wearing the colors of their schools, running around there yelling for their kids and encouraging them to race hard, it's a great championship. Boys will follow at 1:45, and then we'll present some awards there at the cross-country meet, and then we'll have another cross-country season under our belt.
You've got that covers the hills, so to speak. There, as the next sport that we talk about, there is a bit of a crowd on the pitch, but not too much. It's soccer, both of the boys and girls, in 1A and 2A variety, on campus at IUPUI at Carroll Stadium on Saturday afternoon, and much as you will benefit from what is projected to be the forecast in Terre Haute on Saturday. Same thing for downtown Indianapolis, and I've been lucky enough to be a part of these, all of them that have taken place at IUPUI. Normally, I'm thinking about what parka am I wearing to the state championship. I'm trying to figure out which short-sleeve IHSAA polo shirt I'm wearing to the finals on Saturday afternoon.
And I've tried not to think much about that because I think the forecast is really good. And the moment I start thinking about that, it always turns south on me. So I'm just being holding my breath and crossing my fingers. But you're right. The forecast is good for both of our championship events this weekend. Soccer at IUPUI and our friends at IUPUI and Indy 11 and what they've done at that facility to let us have our championships there is a real treat for our kids. And we'll start with the boys 1A championship at 10:30 in the morning, so soccer fans need to get up and get out and roll. And yeah, it's going to be a beautiful day, and hopefully that great weather will encourage a lot of our fans to come out. And we've got some schools that are traveling quite a bit to get to soccer. We've only got one local school there in Brebeuf in the girls 2A championship, but it's a great day, and it's going to be a nice opportunity for people to get out, and we hope they'll all come out and support the kids.
All right, now we go to the sport that is at the semi-state level, volleyball. They go to their championship next week in Muncie, but they've got semi-states in four different classes coming up on Saturday.
Four classes, sites all over the state. 32 schools are remaining as of right now. And we will pare that down for a state championship slate to be played at Ball State and Worthen Arena next Saturday. So our championships are rapidly coming to a conclusion. As I look at the volleyball bracket, some great traditional powers in volleyball, and then some new ones, too, some interesting ones that we've not seen in a while. So I'm going to be kind of interested to, throughout the day in cross-country and soccer to be checking, hopefully checking my phone when I get a new phone, and try to check in the brackets and see how these teams are doing, because it's interesting. We've got some different folks in there.
And then to wrap things up, because the state title for football is still some 4 weeks away, and yes, folks, it's only 4 weeks till Thanksgiving weekend at Lucas Oil Stadium. But this was kind of the first year of the new format, at least at the 6A level, where you had 62 of the 66 largest schools not competing last Friday night. Those guys all begin this coming Friday. Your thoughts about the weekend that was from 1A through 4A with a couple of 5A games on the first week of the football state tournament.
Well, the reports I received back in the office, Greg, were very positive. We had great crowds. We had great weather. And we had some great ball games. It was fun to look at the scores as they were coming in and see how the games turned out. And And now that we've had our larger schools, by and large, have had a week off, it'll be interesting now this week to see how all the schools react to that week off. You know, before, it was just the few 5A schools, yeah, and then the 6A's played. Now, they're all off except for those four schools in 5A. It'll be interesting to get the reactions from the coaches about what do you like. Did you like the week off? Did you not like it? I think some people are going to say they like it because the kids could heal a little bit maybe. But then I think some are going to say, no, I don't like it because it's a week off. We kind of lose our focus, and it was kind of hard to get the –
Good interview. I'm part of thinking to the IHSAA network for providing that interview. Always a treat to hear the commissioner, Bobby Cox. Let's continue with the scoreboard and update it. We do have all of the 6A scores of local interest outside of what is happening here between the Bulldogs and Indians, 3-3 at the half. The winner of this game will face Merrillville or Portage, and a close one at the half is the Merrillville Pirates leading the Portage Indians, but by only a point, 8-7, Merrillville leading on the road. Out of Class 6A Sectional 2, the LaPorte Slicers holding a 10-0 lead over the Chesterton Trojans. That game at the half and on the road for LaPorte, while the Penn Canesmen at home leading the Valparaiso Vikings 21-7 currently in the second quarter. While not the DAC, out of Class 5A Sectional 9, the Michigan City Wolves, tough loss 2 weeks ago to the Bulldogs, leading Elkhart Central 35-7 that game at the half. We mentioned out of Class 4A Sectional 17, Lowell was leading 28-0 at the end of the first quarter at Morden. A seesaw matchup between Munster and Highland. The winner will play Munster and Highland, and Highland holding on to a 15-14 lead in the first quarter over Munster. And one other score to mention, we don't know where the game stands, but Mishawaka Marion out of the Class 3A Sectional 25 semifinal, leading Hanover Central 22-0 at the half. Frank Sprinkle, Dave Woodworth, and it is my privilege and honor to bring in a... Well, I'm polite.
You're overdoing it.
I know. Hey, buddy Mark Smith, who is, of course, taking photos and will write the game story on our website. Mark, I would have to say a pretty interesting first half, but not a lot of points to speak of. Been a pretty good defensive game, especially on the part of the Bulldogs.
It's interesting because it figures to stay this way. Obviously, Crown Point's without their starting quarterback. And young Ryan Bolda, the junior, who I don't believe has played significantly on the varsity at all, is making his debut. And we were talking, there was a season 6 years ago, I believe, when Crown Point's starting quarterback, and Frank, you remembered it was Joe Hopman,
yep,
was the quarterback, the baseball player. And he got, I say that because he went on to college to be a baseball player, and he was injured either in the final game or in the first playoff game, and I want to say that Jake Jadis was the quarterback who came in, and actually Crown Point won. I believe they beat Merrillville to win the sectional.
Yes, they did.
And they lost to Penn at the regional. And so, hey, you know, when a quarterback comes in, he's a question mark. But the question can be answered either way. The question can be answered negatively or positively. Ryan Bolda has not made any big plays yet. He did throw an interception that probably cost Crown Point 3 points, a ball he probably should have thrown away. But other than that, he hasn't made any glaring mistakes. He hasn't made any fumbles. He's been hit, and he's been able to get the ball away. He hasn't. There have been no false snaps, you know, false starts. He's been pretty good, considering the fact that he just found out this week he was going to play quarterback. It's a very interesting situation, and I hope, obviously I hope the Bulldogs win, but I'd like to be able to talk to Ryan after the game. He's he was a Crown Point Babe Ruth baseball player of some note. He was actually pretty good. In fact, I think he'll, I don't want to say he'll make more of a name for himself playing baseball than football. That's yet to be decided. But he's a really good baseball player, and that's the first time I've heard of Ryan Bolda. He was a pitcher in Babe Ruth ball, and he throws the ball very well. But he's made a couple of jittery throws, and this is his first varsity start. And again, one that was totally unexpected, apparently, a few days ago. I hate to do this little play thing where we don't say something let's just say that the quarterback, Grayson Link, who, it's a shame, he played two very good games. In the eighth game against Chester, the ninth game against Michigan City. He is not injured. He is ineligible to play in this game. And I believe he will be ineligible next week, the way I understand it. And we'll just leave it at that. But he is not injured. It's a great chance for Ryan Bolda, one he certainly didn't expect. And, you know, the coaches always tell players, be ready, be ready, be ready. You're one moment away from being in the game. I hope Ryan believed that because he's in there now, and he will be the quarterback. I'm not sure who the third-string quarterback for Crown Point is, to be absolutely honest, but he's highly unlikely to go in this game. There would have to be an injury, the way I understand it, for Ryan Bolda to come out. He's going to stay in, and the game's close right now. He's going to stay until the end. And I'm sure he's been starting on the JV level all year. I would guess that that's the case. For Lake Central, Austin Atkins, their big-time wide receiver, is back. He did not play in the fourth week of the season, and he's a big factor. He's going head-to-head against another man playing in a usual position for the first time. Shane McCormick, Crown Point's wide receiver, is playing defensive back against Austin Atkins. And it's interesting on the sidelines because they're yelling instructions out to Shane, you know, watch for the double move, watch out. Atkins is an outstanding receiver. Zach Stewart is guarding Josh Benson on the other side of the field, who's also an outstanding receiver. I think Lake Central's come close to making a couple of big plays, but the defense has held them off. It's a very interesting game for 3-3 at the half.
And also, Mark, the Crown Point Bulldogs defense doing a great job. Of course, we're used to seeing the Crown Point Bulldogs over the last few years doing a great job getting to the ball carrier, rushing the quarterback. They've done a fine job here in the first half.